Greetings in the name this morning of the great physician. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of man, the Son of God, became the Son of Man so that sons of men could become sons of God. We greet you in his name this morning. Been doing a lot of thinking this week, and as this weekend comes to be, I've been doing a lot of thinking about it and what should be shared and what should be left unsaid. But a title came to my mind in a Bible story that I want to read this morning. And there were several times in Jesus' ministry where something unique happened, where somebody was in desperate need in their lives, and yet they were well nigh powerless to do anything about their own need. The Bible talks in one place about a man who was on a bed of affliction, probably paralyzed. Depending what version you read, it would give that very clear. Palsy is what it says and think in our Bibles. Others would talk about paralysis, probably paralyzed and incapable of mobilizing himself. And the people, some friends of his, evidently some very dear friends of his, had a desire to take him to Jesus. He was incapable of mobilizing himself. And maybe he didn't have connections to get Jesus to come near to where he was. But in any case, they were so desperate that they took the roof off a building where Jesus was gathered with a lot of people. And there was too many people gathered around Christ so as to be able to bring him in through a door. And I don't know what type of structure it was. That's beside the point. But they took the roof off and let him down through the roof by whatever means and put his bed right in front of Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, Son, take up your bed and walk. There aren't people with needs around us who may not even know the extent or the intensity of the need that they have. But people who maybe God is speaking to you, it's your job to reach that person somehow, some way. This morning I want to look at another Bible story. And we want to read it in two different gospels so as to just give us a bit of perspective on it. We're going to read it first this morning in Luke's gospel. But as we read this story, the burden of my heart this morning is I would like each of us to think of a loved one or somebody, a family member, a relative, a neighbor, a person we work with, a coworker, who has a need. They might have a physical affliction that they live with and deal with from day to day to day. They might have an emotional journey that they're struggling with. If you ever kneel down beside a person who is on an emotional journey, you very, very quickly learn that we run out of answers real fast. What to do next? Which way to turn? What should we do? Maybe it's somebody that's in a challenging church situation. I have a real soft heart because of some challenges that I've observed and experienced in my own life. If you just don't know on Sunday morning when you wake up where you're going to go to church or what to do next because of church challenges, it's a huge thing. Watching young people navigate that and work through that, it's not an easy road. Some of you possibly have been there, done that. Because most of us here this morning have at some point in our lives been at some other. Some of us have been at some other gathering of believers, and for some reason, God called us to make a change. And why and what? And that embodies a huge thing. And watching somebody walk through that, and maybe that somebody is you this morning. But it might be a spiritual need, a sinner who you're working with, somebody who's making small steps toward the Christian faith, somebody that really wants to do right. And sometimes they need a lot of help, a lot of mentoring. Apostle Paul said that there are many teachers, but you don't have many fathers, he told the Corinthian church. And I guess there's a sense in which last night's message and today's message might have a thread of similarity. But I want you to put it, if there is such a person on a physical journey, an emotional journey, a church challenge journey, or even a spiritual journey or a combination of several, I'd like you to put that person kind of in the forefront of your thinking as we read Luke chapter 9, verse 37. Because this morning we want to see if there's anything here in this story that would apply to such a need as you're thinking of. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, and he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. What did we read there? Let's go to Mark's account. Mark's account says a bit more. Before I read it, I want to remind us that Jesus had taken three of his disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John. There were nine disciples that did not ascend the mountain. And this father, in desperation, looking for help in this time, brought his son to the nine disciples. Jesus and the disciples and the other three were still on the mount, and they were descending possibly when this occurred. There was also other religious people in the surroundings, from what we understand in this passage here. A large group of people around. But we're going to read now chapter 9 of Mark, verse 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer him? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto you? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And he was come again into the house, and disciples asked him privately, Why could we not cast him out? He said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. This morning, the title we're taking out of chapter 9 and verse 19, Bring Him Unto Me. And I would just mention to us this morning that there are people who do not realize how lost they are. They don't realize the lostness of the lost. They do not realize how serious their emotional condition is, possibly. They don't realize how challenged their situation is, and they're going to need somebody to walk beside them and sacrifice something on their behalf to help them find their way through it. They won't do it themselves. And I guess my challenge to us this morning from the very beginning here is that we bring that one to Jesus. Bring them to Jesus in prayer. Bring them to Jesus, because he's the only one that can help us out. When they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And among them there were scribes, the people that had all the Mosaic law down pat. They knew the laws, they knew the standards, they knew they had it all in order. But somehow they weren't able to do very much at this time. They were more to criticize and be spectators than that they were there to help. And sometimes the person you're looking at or thinking of right now, there's probably a lot of people say, wonder what's in on that person. Strange. They have their attitudes, and you can tell it from miles away. They make their comments. But who's going to be the man or the woman that stands beside that person? Who will be that person? These people were challenging the disciples in their abilities or lack of abilities, because the disciples had already made an attempt. Probably antagonizing them for not being successful with this needy situation. Has that somebody been you? You're working with somebody and maybe you're getting all the way to nowhere. At least you feel that way sometimes. But let's remember that Christ, what he experienced up on the Transfiguration Mount, did not make him forget the needs of his disciples and the others who needed him. Jesus, by the same token, Christ's glory above does not make him forget the concerns of his church below. And if you're coming before that throne of grace looking for grace to help in time of need, Jesus has not forgotten you. And if you're lifting up a soul before him with one of the needs like we've already described, God has not forgotten you. If you're bringing that name in all sincerity and clarity, bringing it to Christ and saying, God, I depend upon you, he does not forget who you are or where you are. And he is looking down right now on that person that you have interest in. It seems as though the people were happy when Jesus showed up. And imagine the relief of the 9 disciples when they finally see Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. 4 men coming on this scene. Imagine how they felt. But when Jesus come in there, he didn't come in as, I'm the answer man. No. He comes, when Christ comes on the scene, he comes in great humility. He comes in great humility. And let me suggest to us that sometimes what we need to do is somehow identify with the needy one. Have you ever walked into a room and a child has just done something and it's absolutely a chaos? chaotic mess. And they knew it shouldn't have happened, and they probably were messing around with something they shouldn't have, and now it's a big mess. And they tried a quick scramble, and sure, it's going to get a little tense here. What is our attitude at that time? A roadside flat tire, you ever have that experience? And you go, what the world? What are we going to do now? And if someone comes to you at that right at that time and offers a helping hand, you're kind of grateful. Anything that's terrible and ugly and yucky, if someone comes there and just somebody else being there helps a lot sometimes. It just does. And yet, the attitude of the person, if they come in on your level, we're right with you. Just take it easy. We'll get through this together. It makes all the difference. Jesus comes in great humility to our need. He cares about the loved one we're concerned about. Verse 16, and he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? They're the religious leaders. They're the predominant ones. They're the answer men. They know the scripture from front to back and upside down and inside out. They know it all. Jesus says, what are you doing here? Asking the scribes. And then one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son. Remember the title this morning, Bring Him Unto Me. The master looked for help at the right place. This man looked for help at the right place. It was a father, I take it. He looked for help at the right place. So when you have this need in your life, the need you're thinking of right now, who do you take it to? Look upon my son, and it might be exactly your son. It might be a cousin. It might be a brother or a sister. Jesus, look down in mercy upon my loved one. We need to bring our loved one to the master. When we bring it to the master, to the great physician, it's a good place to start, right? The father described the condition of his son to the Lord. Physically and spiritually, this need was desperate. It says here, he pineth away, giving the idea of a skin-covered, walking skeleton appearance. Have you ever seen somebody and you wonder how in the world it got so bad, so fast? Working with a drug addict type individual. Somebody here has brought him to church a few times with us. Many Bible studies held with him. Many. Many meals shared with him. And yet when you start thinking about the effects of drug addiction, it's giving evidence of this very, very thing. And it's heartrending. Bring him to Jesus. Verse 19, he answereth him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? And you might say, well, what words is Jesus saying here? But I tend to believe, at least I think, that this might have been a direct challenge to the scribes that knew the law. It might have been a direct challenge to them. But I said, Jesus comes in great humility, and I'm sure the disciples were already defeated and feeling very sad about not being able to help, because they had dealt with things like this before. They had dealt with it before. They had worked with it whenever Jesus sent them out. They came back rejoicing that these evil spirits were subject to them. They came back, they knew something about dealing with this kind of problems. It wasn't foreign language to them. But then Jesus says, bring him unto me. The words Jesus said here were probably challenging to the fault-finding scribes, but it's possible also that the disciples in the moment, just as Peter, as he walked across that water, he jumped out of the boat and started walking on pure water to Jesus. And as he saw the waves were boisterous and the waves were piling this way and that way and everything was shaking and moving as he walked in the water, he began to sink. And it's very, very possible that although the disciples in a given moment may have been able to handle this situation because of the power Christ had given them, it's very possible that in this moment they were concerned about, what are these scribes going to say? And what's these people going to say? And what's the dad going to say if we can't do anything? And they probably got their eyes more on the circumstances than on the immediate need. Who can tell? It's only speculation. But I know sometimes whenever we're looking at a serious need, we feel exceedingly vulnerable too. We say, what's he going to think? What's she going to say? What are they going to say? And sometimes we forget that the person that needs our attention is this one right here, this child, this family, this young person, this coworker. We're just going to take a couple extra minutes with this one today. This school student, perhaps. Might be a few teachers here. Did you ever need to take some time and pray specially for one because of the challenges they're facing at home, etc.? I'm aware of a situation right now where there's a boy that you would probably say that he has some slight handicaps, a single parent home. He kind of goes through grade 5 and grade 6 and grade 7 because he's that age and not because he can academically ever do the work. But that boy needs a daddy figure so badly. He has a lot of challenges to look at in life. He needs help. He needs somebody to walk beside him. Can we hear Jesus' words? Bring him unto me. Whenever the dire need becomes intense, we see here that the devil's aim is to ruin completely the lives of those where he works and rules. The devil is a hard taskmaster. Oh, the afflictions of the afflicted world around us, the broken world around us. I was in Pennsylvania Psychiatric Institute one time. The reason I'm there, we'll just let to the one side, but I was there once. Actually, there a number of times. And as I was there, I saw about a 12-year-old girl, the age of one of these, sitting up front here. I saw her walking up to the walls and kicking and beating around and bamming into things and just this way and that way. And my mind went to this story. I'm telling you, folks, there's young children and adolescents and teenagers that live a life very much like what we read in these verses. And we think it's way out there, but it might be at some home near you. The man that just about 2 or 3 months ago would throw a fishing line out there in the yard with a hook on the end of it and send his 2-year-old girl at it after that fishing hook to go pick it up. No, you're not quite at the right place. Go over there a little bit. And finally, she'd go to pick up that fishing hook and ouch! And he'd sit there and cackle and laugh. There was 2 girls watching that happening. One of them came back and told me about it. And there's just a little bit of righteous indignation that ignites in my heart when I think of a dad doing such a thing. It might be in some home near you. It's a world we live in. Demonology isn't terrible far away. One night after the meetings here, I stepped into a sheet station for some citrus juice. My throat was tickling more than it should have been. And I decided to do. And while I was in there, I heard some very, very evil lyrics on a phone, on the speaker system. And I said, if anyone heard the devil talking, I wonder if that wasn't it. And this is in people's earbuds and people's viewing habits, all the world around us. The rock music, the drug culture, the whole thing. The transgender world and everything it involves. It's everywhere, anywhere. These things are not so far away. Oh, the afflictions of the afflicted world. Oh, the brokenness. Oh, the high cost of sin. Go to verse 20. And they brought him unto him. So they bring this child unto Jesus. And when the spirit saw Jesus, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. The evil spirit in the presence of Christ put on one more demonstration of evil power. And my dear friends this morning, understand that if God is using you as an instrument of his power on behalf of a needy somebody, there is very, very possible that the situation will get totally worse before it ever begins to get better. And the devil looks at you and says, "What? Who do you think you are? See? It's a terrible thing. You can't. It's impossible. This person will never get out of this hole." Sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. And we may as well expect it that way. It happened right here before the great physician. It happened here before the master of the universe. It got worse before it got better. Jesus asked a question like a good physician would. Imagine a doctor coming to a need like this. How would he respond? What would he say? How is this? He asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Do you notice that word "us"? Where is the father putting himself? He's putting himself right down on the level of this child. Right there with him. It's us. We both need help. Jesus said unto him, maybe I'll just make another comment here. The father readily answered, and notice his plea. I already said it. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Do you know, my dear friends, a sense of misery will bring people to their knees. And when we understand that we've ran to the end of our resources, we will do something. We will look for answers somehow, somewhere. We will. It will bring us to our knees, and that's where God wants us to be. As I think of this father, it may be that his expression for the need of mercy and greater faith was part of what God had planned for him. God's not only working in the need of this, in the life of this needy person we're thinking of, but God's working in our own lives to help us to be a better instrument of use in his hands, a vessel more meet, more prepared, more pure, more holy for his work. Verse 23. Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Jesus says, if you can obey, if you can trust, all synonyms of believe, if you can have faith, if you can, all things are possible. Not all things may happen, but things are possible if we believe in Jesus. He is the one who is, as it were, omnipotent, omniscient, and for sure omnipresent, in all places present. If thou canst believe, have faith, trust what God can do. Are you and I trusting in what God can do? Do we know what God can do? It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll welcome you. It is no secret what God can do. I just love that song. I wanted to add this right in here, but that song, I Know a Man Who Can, and I know it a lot better in Spanish than English. But it says how I can't do this and I can't do that, but I know a man who can. Do you know who he is? Is he real to you this morning? Is he a personal friend in your life? Notice the Father's response. Jesus had just said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Late Brother Sanford Yoder Pablo's father used to repeat again and again in his preaching, we need a tiny faith in a great big God. And the thing about our tiny faith, it's like a grain of mustard seed, Jesus says, and if we put that into God's hand, that little faith, that tiny faith that we have, it can grow. And a little faith can become a bigger faith. In other words, his father says, I take this grain of mustard seed of faith that I have that you can help us in this situation, and I place it with you, dear God. I place it with you, Jesus. Help the areas that I still need to grow in my faith. Help me to believe yet more. Help me to bring it to prayer in prayer more. Help me to do more about it. Help me to see the next step I should take so as to help and bless and encourage and be a help to somebody in need. He cried out with tears. Have you yet cried for the needs that are around you? The person you're thinking of, have you yet cried out to God with tears? Tears are a language God understands. Jesus gives ability to repent of unbelief and to trust in all-sufficient grace. Remember that warehouse of grace we talked about a couple nights ago? It's full. It's full and it never runs out. And it's ever available for you and for me. The power of God. Prayer, connecting divine and holy power with the need at hand. And sometimes God needs an intercessor, a mediator. Someone to connect by way of prayer. Heaven's power with a need close by us somewhere. We see in verse 25 and 26, the moment was intense. The anticipating crowd got close, and Jesus did what he alone could do. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. The spirit cried out and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. Whenever this whole spectating crowd gets together, and these religious leaders watching what's happening here before them, and the disciples look on, Jesus did what he alone could do. And I know that there's a lot here that maybe is a little outside of what I feel comfortable speaking about, because I feel like I need more help in it myself, more teaching. I know we have a lot of teaching among us about command miracles and things, and when it comes to this type of issues, I still wonder what Jesus says about it and what God wants for 2023 Christianity to do about some of these issues. And maybe some of you have some help for me on this, but I do believe there comes a time and place when we need divine invention and intervention to help us with the needs at hand. Jesus healed the child, and as we read in the book of Luke, he delivered him to his father. He delivered him a different boy than what came into his presence at the beginning. Later, the disciples asked Jesus why they could not do this work. Down in the latter verses we read there, 28 and 29. Why couldn't we do this? And Jesus gave them the answer. More prayer and more fasting never did anyone any harm, and it may bring glorious results that we have not yet seen. Have you spent any time praying and fasting for that person that you're thinking of right now? Have you? Have I? Have we ever gone out at lunch hour to our vehicle or some quiet place away from the crowd and away from the lunchroom and away from things like that to just spend some time in prayer for a person in need? Have we ever gone to our closet and closed the door and prayed to our Father in secret about a given need like we're talking about? Have we ever fasted about it? How long would we be willing to fast if it was for the salvation or the spiritual help or emotional stability of one person? It's worth it, my friends. It's worth it. More prayer and fasting never did anyone any harm, and it may bring some glorious results. Now, some practical thoughts as we analyze this story. I've already commented on the potential of demon possession and some of these very intense situations in our society. Between a few of the illustrations we already gave, I think I've demonstrated that enough. There are times when the devil chooses to destroy a person quickly. They are captive by him at his will. And sometimes he destroys a person quickly. When you think of suicides, teenage suicides right now are probably higher than they've ever been in history. Why? The devil likes to take them young sometimes. But as long as they're serving him, he doesn't really care where they're at or what they're doing. But whenever someone with interest in their soul gets close by, we will see more intensity. And I already said that sometimes things will get worse before they get better. Another point. Sometimes, oftentimes, there are cases where none but Christ can help. We can go to doctors and psychiatrists. We can go to... maybe you have another list of things. It's a little bit like going to a cistern and we could find it empty. A water reservoir and there's nothing there. But we, like the Father in this story, need to go to the fountain of life. Need to go to the great physician, the one who has capability and answers and power way beyond our human need. One of the beautiful consolations that this story gives to me, and as I think about people who come to Christ from very dark atmospheres and places where it's not easy at all to be a Christian, I'd like to remind us this morning that if Christ can cast the devil out, he also has power to keep him out. If Jesus can help us to find victory over sin, he can help us stay victorious over sin. And that just thrills my heart this morning. To think that the one that gave us power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, he is, and if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am convinced this morning that if he is able to get us saved, he's able to keep us saved and help us walk straight and help us to walk the straight and narrow way that we talked about a few days ago. He's able to help us stay there and walk there, the highway of holiness. And it says the redeemed shall walk therein, and he's able to keep us on that road. And it takes a lot of self-denial, and it's not only God's part. There's a man's part as well. But my dear friends, if we walk that way together, it can be a tremendous blessing. If Jesus can help us find victory over sin, and he can help us to stay victorious. If he cast the devil out and he's out, he can stay out. Because greater is he that is in the believer than he that is in the world. There are many needs that only Jesus can handle. That's why Jesus says, "Bring him unto me." Faith is compliance with God and His will. Unbelief is opposition and contradiction to God. Unbelief is doubting that what God says is true. Unbelief is saying, God, I know you said it, but I don't believe it. But whenever we say that, as that father said, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, we say, Jesus, I have faith. Jesus, I want to. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I will reach out to you. Another point. Faith is not faith until there is action on our part. If we have a burden about the need that I've already described a few times, if we have a burden about it, it's going to require action on our part. It's not going to happen just because it's going to happen. It requires action on our part. Someone has said it this way, faith is instant action. The Bible gives us a challenging story, well, a lot of them, but one of them in Genesis 22, where it talks about Isaac being offered on Mount Moriah. How many days did Abraham loiter around analyzing and contemplating if he was going to obey God or if he wasn't? This next job was what God said it was, get up to Mount Moriah and take care of something. How long did he waste time until he did it? No, that's a story that I was never able to figure out. But you know what? The very attitude that must have existed around that altar, God, here's my son. Here's my coworker. Here's this employee. Here's this neighbor of ours in such great need. And somehow in that moment, we just need to say, God, we're done. We've done what we can. We bring them to you. And faith is instant action. We do what we can, what we know to do. But after a while, Jesus takes over. Faith is anticipated attainment. We pray about it. We fast about it. We try to counsel. We try to be there. We try to befriend them. Because we try to do the little we can do. Faith is anticipated attainment. Why? Because we believe that God can do what we can't do. And when we've done what? When we've reached the end of our feeble resources, His grace has only begun. Something like that, the songwriter says. When we've reached the end of what we can do, God is only beginning. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Never forget it. Faith is anticipated attainment. There's another word of caution, friends of mine, this morning, brothers and sisters, people active in ministry that you are here. As we look at a need, and this kind of ties in again with what we spoke about last night, it does us good to look inside our heart, our mind. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. It does us good to think about if there's anything here that is hindering God's work in that person's life. It does us good just to say, God, have I in any way, by offenses, by spiritual lethargy, contributed to the need that I see in this loved one that we're concerned about today? Is there anything we have done to contribute to that need? Would God have anything to say to us about that? And it's good for us. I'm sure this father probably again and again through the days prior to this and days that he and this very experience, I'm sure he looked very internally sometimes just to see if there's anything here that's causing this issue. We shouldn't dwell on that continuously, but if there's anything that comes to mind, it might require some work, an apology or something, or some repentance before God about our own need. It says there in the scripture, if you have a beam in your own eye, take care of it before you help the brother with a little splinter in his eye. It kind of gives it pretty clearly, doesn't it? Let's look first here. Maybe that should have been an earlier point, but this is where it comes in the list. Another question for us to consider, my dear friends. If that loved one were to follow my example or your example, if that person who we're very, very, very concerned about, if he follows our example, which one of the two eternal destinies would he go to? Just think about it. It does us good to reflect upon that. If he would follow our example, what eternal destiny would he go to? I know there's a lot more that could be said about this story, but I trust that these thoughts, or at least stimulate our thinking somewhat, to the needs that God has in our world and what potentially we could contribute to help somebody find their way. As we cry out to God, look upon my loved one. Lord, have mercy upon my loved one. May we hear our Lord's reply. Bring him, bring her unto me. And let us do that in faith and in prayer and fasting. Those who care to may kneel for prayer. Dear Father and God, we thank you for this beautiful morning. We thank you for the privilege of gathering with believers in this assembly this morning. Lord, it's impossible for us to know all the needs that are represented in this assembly today, all the contacts that are being made with the needy world around us, all the testimony that goes forth from this place, the missionaries that have gone forth from here, the ones who are serving you in other places, the ones who have traveled even internationally for your cause and kingdom, and the magnitude of all that that means. But Father, we know that all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. All is vain unless we have the Spirit of Christ, without which we can be none of His. None. All is vain unless you, dear Lord Jesus, are our Savior and Lord. We just pray, Father, that somehow you would work in our lives and help us. And Lord, if there's somebody right here, right now, that's struggling, that's having some challenges that are way bigger than they are, we pray that you would have your mercy upon them, touch them, help them to feel your presence very near, and help them to know that you care, that you're the great physician, the one who has the answers of mankind's needs. And although it requires a lot of humility and a lot of honesty to find our way, we just pray that you would help us to reach out to you this morning's hour. Bless this assembly and every need present. And Father, we pray that as we have entered these doors to worship and as we leave to serve, that you would go with us and speak to our hearts and continue to write upon our hearts your will and way for our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name with thanksgiving. Amen.